to take a deeper look into the pack. I'm pleased to welcome Peter Bukowski to the program, at Peter underscore Bukowski on Twitter, co-founder of The Leap and host of the Locked On Packers podcast. What's going on, Peter? Do you have preseason fever heading into tonight's game?
Oh, I have broken the thermometer at this point. luckily all the tests came back negative, so we're all good to go. It's just football fever, that's all.
Unlike Kirk Cousins, it is just football fever. That's the best type of fever. Unless it's a fever regarding to needing more cowbell. That's the only type of fever.
Right. That is better. Almost made that reference, but didn't know if your audience was up to date on their vintage American TV.
We try to just keep everyone up to speed. If you listen to the last 2 hours of the program, there's probably a lot that's been mentioned that no one has any clue, way over their head. But I say just go there, Peter. Just go there. Look, Aaron Rodgers is the story. I think because he's a little bit of an irreverent dude, he kind of beats to his own drum, that he gets a little bit of a bad rap on the field. I mean, you know what you're going to get from Aaron Rodgers on a year-to-year basis. The question is his support cast? And I'm looking at the offensive side of the ball. Like, how much weight is he carrying on his back here this season heading into preseason training camp? And what are you looking for to kind of solve some of these issues, potential issues, like his offensive options, his offensive line? How much are kind of looking ahead to tonight to seeing if some of those answers are provided?
Well, you know, I think the interesting thing for the Packers this season, as it relates to any of their quarterbacks who we're going to see, we may or may not see Aaron Rodgers in this preseason. Matt LaFleur left open that possibility earlier this week in some of his comments. It is going to be the Jordan Love show. For the most part, though, is the offensive line, and I wrote about this today at The Leap, which if you're a Packers fan, I would love for you to subscribe to that newsletter, shameless plug, about how this offensive line, this is the third time the Packers are playing the 49ers in less than a calendar year. This is going to be the third group of offensive linemen to start, and not because they're sitting a bunch of their regulars. It's because David Bakhtiari is hurt. We don't know when he's going to come back. Elgton Jenkins is hurt. We don't know when he's going to come back. And so they've got a backup left tackle who's an undrafted free agent. They've got a backup right tackle who was their right guard last year who got benched for the playoffs because he was struggling so mightily. And then a guy playing right guard who had been a center his whole career, a center in college, and was barely even good enough to be active for most of his NFL career. So, you know, the receiver question has been enormous over the course of the offseason. Romeo Doubs has come in, a rookie from Nevada, and just lit training camp on fire. The quarterback loves him. The coach loves him, to the point that Jair Alexander, who is a superstar in his own right, was like, he was seeing this kid across the way do all this stuff and go, no, I'm guarding you now every rep you take. In one-on-ones, in team, I got you. And it's you know, an attempt at iron sharpens iron. But the offensive line piece is huge for the Packers. And unlike a lot of teams with their position battles where you're dealing with veterans, there's a lot of young players. And so they're going to get a lot of run tonight against the 49ers. They're going to get a lot of run next week against the Saints in joint practices. And these are good fronts that they're going to go against. We're going to find out a lot about this plan and if the Packers need to go out and see if there are some veterans out there. Could they find someone? You know, Jared Valdir a couple of years ago stepped in the playoffs for them. They've had to start these sort of journeyman tackles that they've signed in the playoffs every year in the Matt LaFleur era because there have been injuries or illnesses in the case of Brian Bulaga back in 2019. So if this experiment does not go well in the next week or two, they might have to hit the streets and see what they can find out there.
On a scale of 1 to 10, what is the level of your concern for the Packers offensive line?
Right now, like a 7. It's because of who's not playing. Now, if you told me, okay, we think, and the Packers have not been this transparent, we think Elgton Jenkins is going to be back by week 3, and we think David Bakhtiari is going to be back by week 6.
Then it's like
a 4 or a 3, right? So that's not that big a deal. But we don't have that information. So right now, it's backups. I don't know. We don't know who's going to be out there. We don't know how good these guys are. Royce Newman has not taken a snap as an NFL right tackle. Jake Hansen has not taken a snap as an NFL right guard. And so that's a pretty big question. when you're asking Aaron Rodgers to do as much as you're going to ask him to do this season.
Right, Peter, and Aaron Rodgers oftentimes, you know, kind of helps out his offensive line, his ability to read defenses, his quick decision making, right? Like, I don't know if you're going to be able to get a complete story with Jordan Love taking snaps, right? A guy with plenty of questions about him, you know, irregardless of Aaron Rodgers and his situation, right?
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, this is something that we're gonna see about. And the Rodgers Love dynamic is fascinating to me because Rodgers was asked the other day about who faced more criticism early in their career, Aaron Rodgers or Jordan Love, and he gave a really candid answer. Aaron did about as he's had his success and as the years go on, he's sort of forgotten about that. Because it's just no longer part of his arc the same way. But he mentioned, you know, that he had to wait for 3 years behind Brett Favre, and that Jordan Love has had to wait 3 years now behind Aaron Rodgers, and now he's getting this opportunity. And that actually raised the eyebrows of a lot of fans. Like, oh, is Rodgers telling us something? Could this be it? Like, if they go win the Super Bowl, could this be it? And that's a question that I think everyone has to be asking about this season. Like, if the Packers go and win the Super Bowl, could that just be it for Aaron Rodgers? And it seems like there's no stress in that relationship. Aaron Rodgers, I don't think, likes the idea of what Jordan Love represents, which is the ticking clock of, the clock that strikes for all of us, right? And that is the end of our careers and the end of our football lives in the case of Aaron Rodgers. But it seems like they're really good friends. And so it's been a really fascinating dynamic to see. But I think we could be looking at a situation where this is the last season for Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love takes over and everything's great or everything's terrible. We'll see.
Peter Bukowski joining us here on Gameplay. I'm Wheels at Peter_Bukowski, host of Locked On Packers and co-founder of The Leap. Subscribe to that newsletter as well. So I was watching Good Morning Football this morning, and I think it was Mike Garafolo who was saying that he wasn't all that impressed with Jordan Love's technique. What's kind of the assessment? Like, is there a consensus that he's ready to kind of take that next step? Or is he so far in the wilderness, so far, you know, still remains so much of an unknown that these preseason games really matter in terms of building confidence within the own organization, what that kind of handoff and succession plan might look like?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I wrote about this after family night. The Packers always have tens of thousands pack Lambo and for a practice. And we're talking about practice, not a game. Practice. And Jordan Love
got it.
Had
got
some really
reference.
Nice moments. That's a reference your audience gets,
yes,
right? That's not
yes,
that
yes,
old.
Yes, yes, yes.
Jordan Love had some really nice flashes. The clip to Romeo Doubs, the touchdown that he had down the right sideline. That was a Jordan Love throw, not an Aaron Rodgers throw. I think mechanically he looks a lot better. The ball seems to have the same zip. When you went back and watched him at Utah State early in his career with the Packers, the ball didn't jump out of his hand the same way it did in college. And I think that had mostly to do with a desire to be perfect. And he was thinking about his mechanics, and he's thinking about his throwing motion, he's thinking about his weight transfer and all that stuff. And it wasn't allowing him to play freely. And I think one of the things that the Packers loved so much about him in the pre-draft process was he's a playmaker. When the play breaks down, he can break the pocket and create something. That off-schedule, off-platform, he had a throw against LSU rolling to his right with a guy bearing down in his face. He throws this seam ball to a running back that is just as incredible a quarterback play as you will see. And we didn't see those kinds of flashes just because he was thinking too much, I think. And this year he looks freer. He looks more in control. When you talk to people that are there every day in the building, that are going there and talking to him in the locker room, you know, luckily the locker room access is back, and so we have better access to these players now. He speaks differently. He carries himself differently, and so there is this year three leap, which coincidentally was the year Aaron Rodgers took his leap. I think we like to think of Aaron Rodgers because the first year he started, he looked like Aaron Rodgers. He was this sort of fully formed player, and he didn't reach his pinnacle until the end of 2010 into 2011. But we saw an NFL quarterback who was good right away, and it's easy to say, well, that's just always who he was. No. In the early glimpses of Aaron Rodgers, he was a train wreck. an absolute disaster in the preseason. I think his first preseason game, he was like 11 of 24. In the early extended action that he saw, he either was bad or got hurt or both. And it was like, this is a disaster until 2007. Brett Favre, gets hurt in a game against Dallas on a Thursday night, national television. I think the Cowboys were like 11-0. The Packers were 10-1 or something crazy like that. It was the best record two teams had ever had after week 10 in a game. And Aaron Rodgers comes out and leads them almost all the way back in that game. And that was when everyone went, oh, this guy might actually be the real deal. This is not that same sort of circumstance, but I think this is the opportunity for Jordan Love to show, hey, look, I've made this real progress. Matt LaFleur has been very impressed with the progress. But the funny thing is you ask 10 reporters on the Packers sidelines what they think of Jordan Love, and you're going to get 10 different answers. I think if you ask 10 people in that building what they think of Jordan Love, you're going to get 10 different answers. So it is not so obvious at this point that he is a franchise quarterback that everyone sees it. But he's going to have an opportunity this preseason, and maybe we'll see what happens this regular season to show that he is for the Packers or somewhere else.
Right. A couple more for you, Peter. I mean, the defense should be really good. Consensus there. I mean, they spent their two highest draft picks on defensive players. No reason to believe that they're going to take a step back. Maybe even an elite defense taking a step forward. Is that kind of the way you look at that?
Yeah, no question. They lost Za'Darius Smith, but he didn't play last year. And yeah, Rashawn Gary stepped in beautifully. I mean, he was unbelievable last year, started to really show the talent of someone that they took in the top 15 of the draft when they had just signed the Smith brothers. And then they get Jair Alexander back. I think we're underrating, or some people are underrating, what that does to this defense, because Russell Douglas and Eric Stokes were really good last year for the Packers. I mean, Russell Douglas has this inspired almost Hollywood sort of comeback off a practice squad, a forgotten guy, two teams in just a couple months. And then the Packers make a third team, and he comes in and plays outstanding football, has been awesome once again in training camp. Eric Stokes, they think the world of Eric Stokes in Green Bay. And then you add in Jair Alexander, then the safeties, Darnell Savage, Adrian Amos. I mean, I think you can make it. There's a pretty easy case to this is the best secondary in football. Right. And then you add in Rashawn Gary and Preston Smith. You add in Kenny Clark, who, you know, for my tackle league, I think he's the best pass rushing nose tackle in the league, no question. And they add in the depth, Jaron Reed, they draft Devontae Wyatt, Quay Walker, who has stepped right in. I mean, right in. And they're going to play, there was a reporter from Sports Illustrated, Bill Huber, who noted, apparently been counting, that the Packers had not played one snap of dime the entire training camp. And that was a staple of them under Mike Pettine, and even a staple for them last year. They played a lot of big nickel or even big dime, and they're just not doing that this year. They want to play bigger. They want to be multiple. They want to be able to defend the run and the pass with two linebackers, two true stack linebackers on the field. And they think Quay Walker will allow them to do that. He's made some wild plays in practice. Devondre Campbell was an all-pro last year. So this is as talented a defense as there is in the NFL. But they were that talented last year, too. They did not perform to that level all the time. The one thing that I think if you want to point to and say this is the reason this team will be elite this year is in the games that matter. Against playoff teams last year, the Packers' defense was outstanding. And with the exception of the playoff game, which I know that's the ironic part of all of this, they went undefeated against playoff teams last year. With the exception, of course, of the playoff game. Their defense was awesome in all of those games, played incredibly well against Patrick Mahomes, played outstanding football against Jimmy Garoppolo the first time around, played really good against Joe Burrow. There was really just one big play in that game where Darnell Savage misplayed a deep ball he was in good position to get. So this defense is extremely talented. They've risen to the occasion. And unfortunately, they've sort of fallen to the level of mediocre opponents. You think of the Ravens game, the Bears game too, to some degree, where they let teams sort of hang around or get out to an early lead and then put the clamps on. If they can play, and they've been awesome in training camp, they have been winning the day almost every day. They are flying around. They feel like they have something to prove. They could be the best defense. They really could be the best defense in the league this year.
So let's put a bow on this, Peter. obviously, it's a team. Their headlines all revolve around Rodgers. Also, the trading away of Devontae Adams. You know that Rodgers is a stud. You know that the running game is going to be good. Some questions about the offensive line, elite defensive line as well. The over-under in terms of win total is at 10.5. The over, I mean, it's at minus 160. So there's not much there. Looking at their schedule, two layups against the Bears, but also some tough games against the Rams, the Eagles, the Bills, the Dolphins. I think that the majority of those games are away from home. But what do you think about that win total? And can you make the case that they are a legitimate Super Bowl contender, or to you, do they profile as a little bit more of a pretender heading into the season?
You know, it's interesting. I just took yesterday, in fact, I took, I don't know what the line is today. I took the Packers on an alternate line over 12.
Over 12?
Because the odds were, you mentioned the 165. I think over 12 was plus 200.
Yep.
And so I like those plus odds because, as you mentioned, the schedule is favorable. If you look at it right now, they are favored in every game except two, and that's in Tampa and in Buffalo. That includes at Philly. That includes at Miami. That includes at Minnesota. And so they're probably not going to win all of those games. They're not going to probably go 15-2. They're not a 15-2 team, but 13 games. I mean, they sort of sleptwalked at the end of last season to 13 wins. They gave up week 18 and only played their starters a half. And they had, because they had already gotten to 13 wins. I think with this schedule in a division that profiles as pretty easy and a conference that profiles as easier than it was last year, I think they're in really good position to do it again. Whether or not they're a Super Bowl contender also is predicated on what's going on in the NFC. It's the Rams, it's the Bucks, it's the Packers. Who else is in that class? Now, the 49ers, I did not think were in that class last year and beat them. And so we know in the NFL that these things can happen in the postseason. But I think those three teams are clearly in a tier of their own. The odds makers agree that those three teams are in a tier of their own. Tom Brady already having offensive line problems. Matthew Stafford has a nerve problem in his hand where they're already talking about having to manage the pain. That's not a good sign for someone that has had injury concerns over the course of his career. And I think was more up and down last year than we're going to remember because he won the Super Bowl. There were stretches last year where he looked hurt and it was like, what is going on with this guy? And remember, the Packers beat the Rams convincingly at Lambeau last year in a late season game that included Odell Beckham Jr. And it is going to be a similar situation this season. The Packers host the Rams late in the year in a game that could decide which one of those teams has home field advantage. It could be that kind of circumstance, and the Packers have the home field. So I think they're a Super Bowl contender, no question, especially once the offensive line gets sorted out. I don't think they need anyone like Romeo Doubs to come through and be Justin Jefferson or Ja'Marr Chase in year one. I think the defense is going to take a step forward. I think the offense will take a little bit of a step back. But here's the reason I'm most confident that they are a Super Bowl contender. If you go back and you look at 2015, that offense was decimated with injuries. Jordy Nelson gets hurt. Devontae Adams spent most of the season nursing an ankle injury, and that was before Devontae Adams became Devontae Adams. Eddie Lacy was in the midst of eating himself out of the league. Unfortunately, I don't even say that to be glib. It's just an unfortunate reality. He could not stay healthy, could not stay in shape, and was not in the league shortly after 2015. And the defense played well. That was a top 10-ish kind of defense. And they won a playoff game. They went into Arizona with Jeff Janis and Randall Cobb only and almost beat the Cardinals. It took some Aaron Rodgers miracles to do it. But Aaron Rodgers is capable of doing that. So long as they have Aaron Rodgers and the running game that they have, and the defense now that they have, I think you have to consider them a Super Bowl contender.
Good stuff, buddy. Hey, honestly, if you were a Packers fan, a fan of the NFL, subscribe to Peter's Substack, theleap.substack.com, co-founder of The Leap, host on Locked On Packers. This would be, I feel like I know the Green Bay Packers intimately now. I have an inappropriate relationship. Now I know so much with the Green Bay Packers. Enjoy preseason game number one tonight. Peter, this has been outstanding. Thanks for this, pal.
Thanks, Garrett.